This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayya 'ala s-salah. Hayya 'ala s-salah. Hayya 'ala al-falah. حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونستنصره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إلها واحدا أحدا صمدا لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وأشهد أن نبينا وعظيمنا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وحبيبه اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد يقول جل جلاله في محكم التنزيل وأوفوا بعهد الله إذا عاهدتم ولا تنقضوا الأيمان بعد توكيدها وقد جعلتم الله عليكم كفيلا إن الله يعلم ما تفعلون. It's difficult to feel any form of joy or optimism for anything that's occurring anywhere in the world when we continue to watch the people of Gaza pull their children and their elderly and their family members from under the rubble of their own homes, entering the 14th month or 15th month even of this ongoing massacre. Of this ongoing genocidal attempt, I have to admit that I feel, even as someone who speaks on manabir and teaches Islamic studies to people and spends a lot of time chatting with individuals and groups in different settings, that the needle has been shifted quite a bit when it comes to this topic. In terms of people's bravery, in terms of their courage, in terms of what the public opinion actually is and what we feel we can address and what we feel we could not address before. I am the product of my background and upbringing and society at the end, nothing more. And I feel less interested in what the Western governments have to say about my opinion on certain things these days. I have lost that feeling of caring of what they have to. I don't care anymore. I honestly don't care what they think about what I think at all. Not a bit, not even one bit. I used to, I admit, I used to feel that there was hope for different cultures and different ways of thought coming together and actually living in harmony, and for there to be a certain degree of mutual respect that actually exists between different schools of thought in life. And I don't feel that that's the case at all. Because as a Muslim, I feel completely targeted, I feel isolated, I feel violated, frankly, in the way that every government in the world has dealt with this ongoing saga. And when I look at it, I'm forced to go back in history a few more decades and see that this has been going on for a long time. For a long time, a blind eye has been drawn to the pain and the bloodshed and the suffering of Muslim people everywhere. It doesn't seem to matter to them. And I've never thought it should. I never thought it should. I know that it doesn't. And I think it's naive of us to think that any group on the earth would care for us more than we care for ourselves, or that they will actually prioritize us in any way. But I used to think that living here, there was a certain standard that we were all being held to. And I find that really the only group that's being held to any standard is the group that I'm a part of. Everyone else can go ahead and do whatever they want, say whatever they want, behave in any way they want, and with very little consequences. And I think that has brought out of the Muslim community within this part of the world good things. I honestly think good things have come from that. Watching our university students camp out on campus almost all across North America, to me, was something very refreshing. I didn't know that was even possible. I didn't think that that was something that could happen. I couldn't even imagine that it would bring any khair, that meaning any of the universities would actually cave into any of their demands, but they did. And it just goes to show that I think we have lacked a little bit of courage here. And I speak here, and honestly, I'm talking, you're listening to me, but I am speaking to myself. I'm not speaking to you when I say these things. And I think we need to start speaking up a little bit louder, a little bit clearer about what it is that we believe in and what we demand and how we see the world. And we have to bring that to the center, to the front. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant the people of Gaza a way out from the misery that they are in and grant them their victory. And grant them their freedom. As I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant that to the people of Lebanon and the people of Sham and Sudan and Bangladesh and Pakistan and the people from Myanmar and from China and the Muslims that exist in every corner of the world where they are not being treated fairly, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant them the victory and the way out that they hope for and that they aspire to. Allahumma ameen. And I think while saying that, it just makes the topic that I'm sharing with you more important. It just makes it more important. We're lacking a pledge. We're lacking an agreement. We're lacking a way to ensure that everyone in this room and beyond this room, across the globe, Muslims around the world, hold themselves to a specific standard. A standard that we all owe ourselves and owe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be held to. I think that's a piece that's missing. If we continue to deal with our own deen in the form of it being something that we like, is something that if we have time, we contribute to, we participate to the best of our ability, I don't think we're going to get very far. The way we have to see it is the way the Ansar saw it when they offered their pledge to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So let's go back quickly, and I'm going to bring this whole thing together. We've been through all five articles. I want to bring it all together for you today. When he stood there alayhi salatu wasalam, after the introduction actually occurred, and he explained what he wanted. He said, "As-sama wa ta'a fil manshati wal makra, al-infaqu fil yusri wal usr." الأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر أن تقوم في الله لا تأخذكم في الله لومة لائم وأن تمنعوني وتنصروني مما تمنعون وتنصرون به أهليكم وأموالكم. When he asked for those five things, he said, "You have to obey, you have to adhere to the teachings I will bring you. I'm coming as a leader. You have to adhere to the teachings. You have to put your and commit your wealth. You have to put your wealth. You have to commit to a change in social values. You need to put your deen first. You have to prioritize it, and you have to make sure that its best interest is always what you're thinking about. It's not second to anything, it's second to none. And that you must protect this message with all your might." That's what he asked them for, alayhi salatu wasalam. فقام البراء بن معرور فقال نعم والذي بعثك بالحق نعم والذي بعثك بالحق نبايعك على أن نمنعك مما نمنع به أهلنا يا رسول الله. فإنا قوم أهل حرب ورثناها كابرا عن كابر. البراء بن معرور, the eldest of the group, he said, yes, Ya Rasulullah, we will protect you with that which we use to protect ourselves and our family. We know that you are Rasulullah and we are the people of war. And we have inherited the strength of fighting for what we believe in from our grand ancestors, and we will show that to you. نُبَايِعُكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. That's what he said. فَقَامَ أَبُو الْهَيْثَمْ إِبْنُ التِّيهَانِ فَقَالَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. And then Abu al-Haytham ibn al-Tihan, one of the elders of the Ansar, put his hand up before people got a little bit too rowdy, and he said, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, إِنَّ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَ أَقْوَامٍ حِبَالًا وَإِنَّا قَاطِعُوهَا فَهَلْ عَسَيْتَ إِنِ اللَّهُ أَظْهَرَكَ عَلَى النَّاسِ أَنْ تَتْرُكَنَا وَتَدَعَنَا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِكَ. He said, we have a lot of alliances and treaties with tribes that exist inside our city and outside. And most of those treaties are going to be severed with you coming to us. We're going to lose our alliances. We're going to lose the good blood that we have with a lot of the tribes around us. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants you the victory and the strength that you aspire to, will the day come where you will leave us and go somewhere else? Again, take this in the symbolism that it's meant. It's through this pledge that he came to them, alayhi salatu wasalam. It's through this pledge that he came to them, alayhi salatu wasalam. And Abu al-Haytham's fear was, what will happen if it works out? Do you leave us then? Will a day come where you leave us? I'm going to commit everything for you, Ya Rasulullah. Will you leave me hanging at some point? Will you leave me out to dry? Will you leave me with nothing? Will that happen at some point? Will I give you everything, Ya Rasulullah, and at some point you will leave me and walk away from me and leave me to face the consequences of what I did for you? Will a day like that come? It's a very good concern. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَبَلِ الدَّمُ الدَّمُ وَالْهَدْمُ الْهَدْمُ أنا منكم وأنتم مني أسالم من سالمتم وأحارب من حاربتم. He said, no, my blood is now your blood. And I will live with you and I will die with you. Your friends are my friends and your enemies are my enemies. And I will be with you till the end. فَكَبَّرَ النَّاسِ Allahu Akbar. See, once you accept this pledge, he comes to you, alayhi salatu wasalam, he never leaves. He will never leave you, alayhi salatu wasalam. He will stay with you till the end of your life. He will always be there. You will never be left alone. The moment you say, Ya Rasulullah, yes, I offer this, the moment you say that to you, the moment you offer it, then you will never be alone. You will never, because he is making this pledge on behalf of God himself. That's why. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُبَايِعُونَكَ إِنَّمَا يُبَايِعُونَ اللَّهِ يَدُ اللَّهِ فَوْقَ أَيْدِيهِمْ. Indeed, the ones who are giving their pledge to you, exclusively, they are offering their pledge to God himself. The hand of God is above all of their hands. You know, when people do a pledge, they put the hands on top of the hands. That's how we agree to something. Everyone puts their hand. You have five or six people with their hands on top of each other, agreeing. They do it when they play sports. It happened even before that in war. But you put your pledge. Allah says, يَدُ اللَّهِ فَوْقَ أَيْدِيهِمْ. Figuratively speaking, Allah's hand is above all of their hands. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in this with you too. You are offering this pledge to Allah. He is the medium, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is the tool. He is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using for this pledge to be meaningful, because he is the most beloved to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. See, when you offer this pledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gifts you the thing he loves most. What? Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He offers you Muhammad. Here, you want to, you offer me this pledge, I'm going to give you that which I love most on this earth. That which I've always loved the most. Wait, what? I'm going to give you Habibi Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam. That's what they were offered. So people, takbir, Allahu Akbar, they were all, and they were ready to go and perform their bay'ah. And As'ad ibn Zurara would stand and say, hold on. قَالَ رُوَيْدًا أَهْلَ يَثْرِبْ فَإِنَّ مَا أَتَيْنَاهُ إِلَّا وَنَحْنُ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَإِنَّ إِخْرَاجَهُ إِلَيْنَا مُنَاوَأَةٌ لِلْعَرَبِ كَافَّةٌ وَقَتْلُ خِيَارِكُمْ وَتَعَضُّكُمُ السُّيُوفُ فَإِمَّا أَنْتُمْ قَوْمٌ تَصْبِرُونَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ فَخُذُوهُ وَأَجْرُكُمْ عَلَى اللَّهِ وَإِمَّا أَنْتُمْ قَوْمٌ تَخَافُونَ مِنْ أَنْفُسِكُمْ خِيفَةً فَبَيِّنُوا ذَٰلِكَ وَذَرُوهُ فَهُوَ أَعْذَرُ لَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. As'ad was 21 years old when he said, 22 years old when he said this. Here's the wisdom of this gentleman. As'ad would die the year later. He would die the next year. He was the person who was there the first day. See, when the Prophet ﷺ, the Hajj of the 10th year, spoke to the first six individuals of Yathrib, As'ad was the eldest of them. As'ad is the one who said, yes, we want to do this. So he went and he brought 72 people this time. And he took Mus'ab with him the time. He brought 12 people the time after, sorry. And they took Mus'ab with him and he came back with 72. He has been the orchestrator of all of this. Mus'ab lived in his house. He gave the first khutbah, Sayyidina As'ad. He would only live a year later. Why is he intervening right now? He's intervening because this is where an intervention is needed. He said, slow down, Ahl Yathrib. We only came here because we knew he is Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we know that. And we also know that the moment we bring him to us, we are now up against all of the Arab. And the many of our great people will die, not knowing that he was going to die himself, radiallahu anhu, a year later. And the swords of the Arab are going to come for you. So either you are people who have perseverance and have patience and are willing to go through all of that. So take him with you. And your ajr is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or you are people who have a little bit of fear left inside of you. And if you have a little bit of fear left inside of you, then say, we have some fear. Because that's at least an excuse that you can show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yawm al-qiyamah that we were scared. That's why we didn't do it. So as he's saying that, someone in the crowd will call and say, فَمَا لَنَا إِن فَعَلْنَا. So what do we do? What do we get in return if we do all these things? What do we get in return if we do all of these things, all five stuff that you asked, what do we get in return? Because As'ad made a good point. This is a big deal. Are you sure about this? Take a moment and think. Islam does not need anyone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need anyone. You and I need this. No, Allah does not. Jalla Jalallah, he's not in need of his servants, nor is his deen, nor is his book, nor is his habib, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ajma'een. This is for them. The price is it's an expensive price to pay. It's heavy. Are you sure about this? Are you sure when you give your word, you have to come through with it? So they started thinking. So one of them came up with a good idea. And he said, Famala, what do we get? So we're going to do all this, what do we get? فَقَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ الْجَنَّةِ أَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ يَا فَوْزَ الْمُسْتَغْفِرِينَ اسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ. الحمد لله وحده وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على من لا نبي بعده وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اتبع نهجه ووفى عهده. يقول تعالى إن الله اشترى من المؤمنين أنفسهم وأموالهم بأن لهم الجنة. This ayah in Surah Al-Tawbah, you go back to the tafsir and you see the narration that we have from Abdullah ibn Rawaha رضي الله عنه, who attended Bayat al-Aqaba. He says that this verse was revealed regarding that this verse was revealed regarding Bayat al-Aqaba. That's his narration. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself would answer the Ansari who asked the question, what do we get in return? You get Jannah. That's it. There was no more. He did not elaborate alayhi salatu wasalam at all. He didn't offer anything more. He didn't even spend a moment describing Jannah or talking about the beauty of what you will find when you're in the presence of the Almighty himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you're taking to the place where you have access to his compassion and his mercy and his love and his grace and his knowledge, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in ways that the human mind does not have the ability to even begin to imagine. He didn't spend any time explaining any of that. He just said, what you get in return is Jannah. You offer this and you get Jannah. And if you want Jannah as well, then you have to offer what they did. You have to offer what they offered. You have to live your life in adherence to his word, subhanahu wa ta'ala, following what he taught. You have to commit your wealth. You have to commit to changing social values and standing by the principles of your deen. You have to put Islam first at all times. You have to protect it with your life and your wealth and whatever else you have and whatever else you possess. And if you don't do that, then it's not fair. It's not fair for them to have to give all of that to get Jannah, and then we'd give less than, something less and get the same. It doesn't make any sense. That's what they offered. When he said al-jannah alayhi salatu wasalam, that's all he said. قالوا أمط عنا يدك يا أسعد. أسعد, get out of the way. فَإِنَّا مُبَايِعُوهُ. We're going to perform our bay'ah. رَابِحَ الْبَيْعَ. This is a winning transaction for us. لَا نُقِيلُ وَلَا نَسْتَقِيلُ. We do not accept this bay'ah, this pledge to be removed from your side, nor will we remove it from our side. قال فتسابق القوم على مبايعة سيدي رسول الله. And people started pushing and shoving. فكأنهم يرون أن من بايعه أولا دخل الجنة أولا. And the way they were seeing it is as if whoever was going to perform the bay'ah first was going to enter Jannah يوم القيامة first. So I ask you, O عباد الله, تبايعون رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Do you offer your pledge to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام؟ يا عباد الله, تبايعون رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم على ما بايعه الأنصار عليه. Do you offer your pledge to the Prophet as the Ansar offered their pledge to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام؟ And if you do, then make sure that you understand what the articles are, and you don't need to write a paper, you don't need witnesses. All you need to say is بايعناك يا رسول الله, بايعناك يا سيدي يا رسول الله. I offer you this pledge. I will live my life the way you asked. I will follow the book. I will put my wealth. I will adhere to the values. I will put Islam first, and I will protect this with all of my might. And once you do that, he will enter your life, alayhi salatu wasalam. And once he enters your life, he will never leave you. He will never leave you. And that will be the best transaction you can ever imagine. What is better in your life than having Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam in your heart? Carrying him with you, carrying his teachings and his legacy, alayhi salatu wasalam. Ya Rab Dakhilak. This is how Islam will come back again. Islam will come back in a correct form when people offer the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that which those who lived with him offered him during his life alayhi salatu wasalam. It's not too late, and there's no difference. There's no difference from that night, that night in Mina, that 13th night of Hajj, in the 12th year. There's no difference from that moment and the moment that I share with you right now. Time doesn't stop for anyone. Time keeps on moving. And there's no difference today than it was yesterday. What was offered to him yesterday, alayhi salatu wasalam, still applies today. And can still be offered today and must be offered today. If you want there to be change in the world, then you must offer him, alayhi salatu wasalam, this in your heart. And you must offer that pledge and then stick to it till the end, as the Ansar did. They stuck to it to the end. To the bitter end for most of them. They all perished, all of them, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, throughout the next 30 years from that night. From that night, for the next 30 years, they would fall one by one until none of them were left. All 72 that night who offered this pledge died within the next 30 years for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They saw it through. And as they saw their part through, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was definitely going to see his part through subhanahu wa ta'ala. And make sure that they got that. They got Jannah. And this is it. This is what we need. This is what's missing. It's an offering, and there's a reward. If the reward is meaningful to you, if this is what you hope for in life, if this is what you spend your time thinking about, hoping that you reach, if you're worried about your mortality and what comes after and Yawm al-Qiyamah and where you're going, if this is your actual worry in life, then this is the pledge that you require. You want Jannah, this is how you get it. You offer your pledge to Sayyidi Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam. And when I think about the status of the Muslim Ummah today, I don't see any other way out. I don't. If you are totally and fully committed, as the Ansar were, you will always find your way. You'll always find a way to do something that's helpful, that's to do something beneficial, to push Islam forward, to be a force of goodness. You'll always find a way, no matter where you are, no matter how busy you are, how old or how young, how healthy or how sick, how wealthy or how poor, it won't make a difference. Wherever you are dropped, you can be parachuted into any place and time, and you will still find a way to push this forward and to commit yourself to it, because this is what you're alive for. You don't need permission. You're not seeking validation. You're not hoping for support. You're not allowing anything in your life to distract you. You don't have excuses for why you're not showing up for stuff. You don't have excuses and you don't rationalize why you're not actually contributing. You don't do any of that. You don't wait for someone to welcome you, someone to call you in, someone to open the door for you. This is your door. And this is your story. And this is your cause. You're on the wrong side. Yeah, you're on the wrong side. You're not outside looking in. You're inside calling in. That's what you're doing. This is your deen. You offer the pledge to Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, and you stand beside him. He is calling people from across the rails to come by. Are you there? Why are you there? Why are you across the rails? What are you doing there? Come and stand beside him alayhi salatu wasalam, where you belong, and contribute to his work and call people over and support them. This is what. Why are you over there? You're in the wrong place. They understood. They were the Ansar. See, here's the point. I have to end because they knew that they were different. They weren't Muhajirin. So they had to commit themselves in order to be on the right side of things. So they did. I hope that was a benefit to you. وَعَلِمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَنَا بِأَمْرٍ عَظِيمٍ فَقَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِ مُحَمَّدٍ كَمَا صَلَّيْتَ عَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَعَلَى آلِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَبَارِكْ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِ مُحَمَّدٍ كَمَا بَارَكْتَ عَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَعَلَى آلِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ فِي الْعَالَمِينَ إِنَّكَ حَمِيدٌ مَجِيدٌ وَارْضَ اللَّهُمَّ عَنِ الْأَرْبَعَةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ السَّادَةِ الْحُنَفَاءِ أَبِي بَكْرٍ وَعُمَرَ وَعُثْمَانَ وَعَلِيٍّ وَارْضَ اللَّهُمَّ عَنْ أَزْوَاجِهِ أُمَّهَاتِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَعَنْ آلِهِ الطَّيِّبِينَ الطاهرين وعن صحابته الغر الميامين وعن التابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وعنا معهم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات اللهم فرج هموم المهمومين ونفس كروب المكروبين وارفع الغم عن المغمومين وارفع الظلم عن المظلومين واحقن دماءنا ودماء المسلمين اللهم احقن دماء إخواننا المستضعفين في كل مكان احقن دماءهم في فلسطين وفي لبنان وفي الشام وفي السودان وفي الباكستان وفي غيرها من بلاد الأرض يا رب العالمين اللهم امدد هذه الأمة بنصرك المؤزر يا الله يا رب العالمين امدد هذه الأمة بنصر عاجل غير آجل اللهم رد المسجد الأقصى إلى رحاب المسلمين أخرج الصهاينة منه أذلة صاغرين اللهم ارزقنا أجمعين فيه صلاة قبل الممات يا رب العالمين وما ذلك عليك اللهم بعزيز ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم